Billy, Kim and
Francis, if you just want to take attention and sit down in your seats. Councillor Quinn. Okay, I just wanted to welcome the Down Area Youth Council. They're newly formed and they hope to represent the views of the young people across the area. They want to get to know our local councillors and also to work with the council in future on youth-related projects. They have youth leaders, Paul Moore and Michael McGee, and they're here tonight in the back row there. So very welcome, and I hope that you enjoy the proceedings tonight. Anyone want to come again, just give us a shout, it'll be no problem. Anyone want to shadow any of the councillors, I'm sure the councillors will be only too willing to accommodate you across the board. So, okay, so you're very welcome and I hope you enjoy. Just like to know that I've received an emergency motion from Rushing McGroom and to be seconded by Pete Byrne to suspend standing orders at the end of the meeting to hear the notice of motion about Daisy Hill. That will require 80% of the councillors here to vote on that. And so just to let you know that that will be taken at item 13 and we will suspend that at that point. Okay. Some chairman's remarks. We just have very sad times again that we've had a man's body washed up on Murdoch Beach. Names are not released yet, but we just have thoughts and prayers with that gentleman at the minute. Young man, very young lad, Christopher Martin from Downpatrick, was very unfortunately killed in a car accident on Sunday morning in Crossgar. Obviously, the death of the Irish Coast Guard, the Rescue 116, there was a book of condolences along with the Kilkeel Coast Guard team that was opened. Two of the bodies have been recovered and those funerals have happened. The other two are still missing even, and the helicopter has been lifted, but unfortunately the remains were not there. So thoughts and prayers with all those families at the minute. There was also the death of Martin McGuinness, a former deputy First Minister, and the book of condolences was open and will close tomorrow, and thoughts and prayers with his family as well. There was an assault and robbery of a Kilkeel pensioner, very sad that in this day and age this man was tied up for a number of hours, absolutely dreadful, and we ask everyone to keep their eyes and ears peeled on any suspicious behaviour that reported appropriately to the PSNI. I just want to offer my congratulations to Warren Point Town. They were relegated last year from the Premiership and they won the Championship on Saturday. Great celebrations. And they will be in the Premiership again next year. So they're very happy and it would be remiss of me not to mention them. We also had a fantastic YAFTA event last week. And obviously the Down East Council, some of them attended. And that will be probably held in Downpatrick next year. Great event for our young people of our district and how empowered they are. Really, really superb. One of the projects that then took place that won one of the actors was the Intercommunity Film Project, which had 9 communities. There was an excellent message in those films, so if anyone ever gets a chance to watch them, I would totally suggest that they go along and watch them. Some of the messages that were sent out was about stone throwing, careless driving and cyberbullying. They really hit home a lot of messages. Now, in terms of the cyberbullying, I would like anybody that has young people or whatever in their lives, if they can send out a message about the SimSim app. It allows viewers to be anonymous and send insulting messages to another person just by typing in their name. It has been linked to cyberbullying, and we would ask councillors, even ourselves or as parents, whatever, to send that message out to please delete that from your phones and stuff. So it's so important. Cyberbullying is a massive, massive thing, and the message those young people sent out last week was really, really powerful and incredible. So just from our point of view, if we as councillors could do that as well, it would be fantastic. We also have some young public speakers that have just become the All-Ireland champions. St. Louis Grammar School in Kilkeel, Lucy Markey, Fiona Cunningham and Ashleen Trimble. They became the All-Ireland champions at the recent Knights of Columbus public speaking competition in Maynooth at the weekend. So fantastic. Probably if you all remember in March, we had our fantastic tourism launch. Absolutely superb. And I believe everyone had a great time that attended it. And I believe that moving forward, this council will be well noted for their fantastic epic experiences and adventures. And again, we had great sympathetic celebrations, so I just wanted to make note of those number of chairman's remarks. Okay, so move on then to declarations of interest. Anyone have any?
Chair, I can declare an interest in Councillor Hannah's notice of motion. I'm a member of the church committee. I think it's best if I declare an interest.
Okay.
Chair, I would need to declare a similar interest. I'm also a member of my church committee, so I would have a specific interest in the motion as well.
Okay.
I'm the same. Sorry, I'm okay.
Okay. Your support's dwindling here, Councillor Hannah. They all tell you that before you submitted it, but anyhow. Okay, so we'll look at the minutes then of the council meeting the 6th of March. I'll just open my pages here. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we'll do the action sheet, 11 and 12 as well. Proposed to second it? Okay, it's a fight over here. So, Councillor Hurley and Councillor Burgess, it's proposed and second it. Any matters arising?
Did you say the action sheets? No, yeah.
Yes, we covered it as well there. Yes, do you want to raise a matter in it? Yep.
Yeah, just what I would like to.
Guys, if you actually want to lower the voice, I can't hear Councillor Kern.
As far as letters have been sent, you know, the two issues here, I would like to see a date when the letters are being sent so that we could trace exactly how long it takes answers to come.
Chairman, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Councillor Riley, yes?
Yeah, Madam Chair, it was just on the notice of motion I had proposed. I did submit an apology when I couldn't make it that night, and I see that it was put to a committee. Eileen did advise me, Eileen McParland, but I was wondering why it wasn't just allowed to roll on to the next month as we normally would do. Thank you.
Chairman, it was agreed at the council meeting. It's up to the council how to deal with the notice of motion. From my understanding, it didn't go to the SPNR meeting. It's going to the next SPNR meeting that's coming on. So, Councillor Ray still have the opportunity to attend the meeting next Thursday, where it will be discussed at that point in time.
Can you explain how the council makes these determinations? Because I noticed that same night, you know, there was notices and motions discussed on people, you know, prison sentences and bank closures, and then, you know, something that actually relates to the council that is a concern to get there can't be discussed at full council. I wonder if you can explain why.
Chairman, I refer Councillor Riley to standing order in relation to notice of motion, which is 16.1, which deals with how notice of motion will be dealt with, and sets out all the different scenarios and where notice of motion could be dealt with. Why, if it's an issue for the council and committee, it should be referred to that committee without discussion at the council meeting. That's the standing order, State Chairman.
And even though, if I go to that committee then, Chairman, under those exact same standing orders you refer to, I can be denied the right to speak, even though it's my notice of motion.
We're giving you the right to speak.
That's
already agreed, Councillor, that you will be able to go to that meeting and speak.
I can get an assurance then that whoever's chairing that meeting has happened in the past week. Sinn Féin were chairing it.
Okay, Councillor Riley, I'm sorry, you've just delayed this now. I actually did hear Councillor Brown, reached over to you and said, I'm extending you an invitation. Even I heard that up here, and if you didn't hear it, sorry. Okay. It's also agreed that the Council and I have said that you can speak at that.
Thanks very much for the clarification. That's all I asked for.
After the third time. Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Page 6, the notice of motion reference First Trust Bank. Could I just maybe record our thanks to the officials for the swift action in arranging the meeting with First Trust, and I suppose add our thanks to Des Moore and Stephen Croner for attending. The meeting was held this morning, and whilst it was fairly robust, they are considering some mitigating circumstances that have been suggestions that have been made to them. So just welcome the fact that the meeting has happened and happened so quickly.
Okay. Item 5, the minutes of the ORT. Sorry, Pete.
Sorry, Chair. Thanks. I just wanted to give an update from Canis about the bus shelter in the Roxburgh Road. So I thought it's the action sheet. It's in the minutes of the council meeting on the 6th of March. Or maybe we can speak to apples. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Item 5, Minister.
Chairperson.
Sorry, Governor.
I don't think that Councillor Riley's question was properly answered. I put forward two notices of motion. One was referred to the ERT and one was referred to the Active and Healthy. I was told that I would be invited to those committees to address them on those particular issues. Looking at the minutes of those two meetings today, I see that those matters are still not outstanding in those committees. Now, there were quite important motions for community organisations. One was that a town, Warren Point or Strangford, should be able to advertise its festivals 12 months to 14 months ahead, because we gave them sufficient notice that we were granting aiding their festivals rather than giving them 1 week, 2 weeks notice, or a couple of months notice. And the second one, similar, where community organisations have to fork out £3,000 or £5,000 in advance before they can claim the money off council, and most community organisations can't do this. Now, both those two motions were perfectly legitimate about the way in which the council does business, but we are subject to your decision to refer them to other committees, and where the councillor doesn't get invited to talk on those issues, even though they're pertinent to the way the council is being run. And what we have here is, within the way in which we run the council, we have a basic a fault point that simply doesn't work. I think we need to review our standing orders, and we need to reconsider if we can't get legitimate motions of that type properly spoken about, which concern every single community organisation and every town and village in this area. We need to reconsider the way in which our procedures work. And I don't think Henry was properly answered there, simply because Patrick invited him to the meeting didn't necessarily mean that the system works. But Patrick's just intervening in order to make sure that democracy gets heard.
I'm not too sure it's exactly that. Anyhow, Cadogan, you will be invited. I'll even send you a letter. And Henry, so will you.
It's on item 5, the ERT minutes.
Okay, we'll move on. The minutes of the ERT, 13th of March, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Proposed. And seconded, Rob Burgess. Matters arising, Patrick?
Just one clarification from the director. There was a typing error in the original SLA. So has that been clarified with the St. Patrick's Centre?
Sure. I was going to ask the council just to note that the St. Patrick's Visitors Centre SLA should read 115,000 and not 110,000.
Thanks, Chair.
Any other matters? Yes, Tara.
I'd just like to congratulate Shirley Keenan on the task and finish team thing that she was doing, Castle Well. It all looks very good. Some really good ideas coming out of it. And I was just wondering, Marie, when are we going to take some of them forward, or are there going to be working groups or whatever?
Sure, there is a task and finish working group for Castle Well, in which a number of councillors have been nominated to sit on. They held the consultation workshop in Castle Well, and the task and finish group are now considering those things that have come out of the workshop, and we'll be meeting with HLS, who we're looking to meet the funding bid with, and we'll work consistently with that, and we'll report through the ERT committee as we have been doing.
Okay, item 6, Minister of the FPNR Committee, on the 16th of March. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed. Michael Rowan, seconded.
Yeah, I'd second, Chair. But also want to speak
matters,
to you.
Matters arising?
Yes, Chair. Can I just bring your attention to the first page? In response to a query from me at the last thing, the last meeting, the Safety and Community Centre, I still haven't received a copy of that email that was sent, and I was speaking to the three people in question, and they haven't seen it either, so I'd like to know who's telling who what. So if it's possible to get that sent to me sooner rather than later, before the next SPNR meeting.
Yep.
It's the email from Councillor Brown, I think it is, so maybe if Councillor Brown can forward that on.
Can you get that sent tonight? All done well? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just on page 8, just I know there was a letter received from Peter Weir, former Minister of Education, or whatever, and it's just to try and keep, make sure to keep that topic alive on the outdoor education centres. I mean, there is no government there, but I'd be very afraid of moving forward with any of the proposals of closure of the on Caswell and the Strever centres. So I think in the absence of any government in Stormont, we need to keep our eye on those. So I'll just ask that that committee keeps that on the agenda.
Yep, will do.
Okay. We can retain that in the action sheet, Chairman.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Liam wants to come in on the Brexit update.
Yeah, just Chairman, to say that now members will be getting an invitation to a presentation on the research done by the University of Ulster on the impact of Brexit on the council areas, both sides of the border. It's an event that's going to be held on the 4th of May at 10:30 in the Loch Earn. It's going to be all the councils that are located along the border. It's going to have representatives from the Northern Ireland Executive and also from the Department of the Taoiseach, who will outline what both governments are doing in regard to Brexit, and also Intertrade Ireland in terms of the work they're doing in terms of the issues for Brexit. So again, I know members are keen to get information on the impact of Brexit. That will give you an both a government perspective, both north and south of the border, but also a business perspective from Intertrade Ireland, and also give you a perspective from the University of Ulster on research on terms of the business sector on both sides of the border. So if members, you'll be getting a formal invitation, but it'll be put in the minute pad, but again it's an invitation to all members on the 4th of May in the Loch Earn, and it'll be colleagues from your set, from all the councils, all the invited as well, both north and south. Sorry,
can't hear you.
Tea times. We think we can get a bargain deal, be honest. Just to say also too, the chambers, we're inviting two representatives from each of the chambers of commerce. So again, Newry Chamber of Commerce, Newcastle Chamber of Commerce. We're inviting all the Chamber of Commerce along. So it's particularly for councillors and chambers of commerce on both sides of the border. So hopefully it'll be a very good event in terms of enlightening people in terms of Brexit.
Okay, and Michael Lips is going to give us an update on Kindle.
Thank you, Chair. I've recently received, or I've received an email telling me that the valuation for Kindle hasn't changed due to the demolition of the school, so it remains at £65,000. So it was just to update members that I haven't seen this valuation yet, but I've been told by the Education Authority.
Guys, come on.
That's what it says. So the building itself has now been completely levelled and removed, so you now have a completely level site. And the price for that is £65,000. So we're going to proceed to purchase, assuming you're happy with that.
Yep. Okay. So, Minutes NFA HC Committee, the 20th of March, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Anyone want to propose it? No. David Taylor? Anyone want to second it? No. Patrick Brown? David, yes?
Yeah, Madam. I think Declan brought this up in the previous thing, but I have to agree with what he was suggesting. There's page 46, the letter from Peter Weir. Once again, very unhappy that this is the second request we've asked for this council to meet on the closure, or proposed closure, of outdoor education centres. And once again, he has treated us of utter disdain. But I don't really get the idea of the proposal by Councillor Walker and Councillor Harvey that we send the correspondence to the new Minister of Education. We don't have any new Minister of Education. And who is it? Because maybe they could tell us what the background is. That. Okay.
I clarify that.
Hold up. I need a second because Councillor Brown, you weren't
speaking. I second.
Are you honest?
Yes.
On you go.
In relation to that, as councillors that was there know, I actually had said in relation to the minister I wasn't happy. He's a member of my own party, and I don't have no problems criticising anybody. I'll criticise any minister that's done their job. What we stated was that if, for example, the assembly gets up and running again, we invite the new minister, whoever that may be. So it is. Now, hopefully,
the parties get their act together up there, we will have an assembly up and running again, and we can invite the new minister, irrespective of who it is. And I make no, you know, apologies. If it's my own minister, I will be seeking answers from him. I'll be hitting them with hard questions. If it's a minister from another party, I'll be doing the exact same thing. So that's what it was, Councillor Highland, that if the assembly gets up and running again, because whenever I had raised it, they were in negotiations, they were in talks, so they were in relation. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So if that assembly had been up and running again, whoever the minister is.
Okay. Any other matters? Okay. Item 8, minutes of the RTS meeting on the 22nd of March, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, proposed, Councillor Andrews, seconded, John Shainer, any matters arising? Okay. Item 9, the All-Ireland Local Authority correspondence.
Chairman, just to say that this is Cooperation Ireland are running a conference. Housing is a major issue in the South, and they would like the representative from the Housing Council to attend that, because they're hoping to get the Housing Council reps from all 11 councils to attend to input from a council point of view. So it's just to get a game. There's no cost to it, just to say that that's the requirement, Chairman.
Yeah. Second for that? Second, Councillor Lamb. Yeah. I was just wondering, is it relevant to any member of the Planning Committee as well?
Again, Chairman, I think they're keen to have all councilmen, but it doesn't prescribe if somebody feeds something in. It's going to be very focused on housing policy and index housing policy, which we do. But again, there's no issue. It's just they were keen to have Northern representative at it, and I think that's why they were looking for housing council members on it.
Okay,
a
letter from Sonny
Lee,
the North South Interconnector, page 57
Lane. Yeah, just Chairman, it's self-explanatory, just saying that the inquiry was held into the North South on the 22nd to the 27th of February. The PAC is now preparing a report for forward to the Department for Infrastructure later this year, and they're hoping that the decision will be announced out there, and this will allow the full implementation of the single electricity market, which is missing within the Northern Ireland.
Okay. Yes, John.
Chairperson, just in respect of the North South Interconnector, obviously with Brexit now, Article 50 being triggered, can we maybe make correspondence to Sony just to ask them how that is going to impact on the North South Interconnector project and how it's going to impact on energy policy for the whole of the island of Ireland?
Yes.
Yes, Chairman, we follow that up.
Thank you, John. Now, item 11, Councillor Brown.
The motion's fairly self-explanatory. As it says, in a meeting of the SPNR committee last June, I proposed a motion regarding all council committees except for the planning committee, although that was the original intention to be audio recorded. I did not clarify at that time where those audio recorded minutes, where those recordings would be stored. So this is really just a follow-up motion to request that those audio recordings are uploaded online for a period of 2 years. I'll not take up any more time. It's straightforward enough.
Second to that one.
Sorry, this day and age for councillors are under a lot of criticism in the local press, and it then works its way back to the local populations that we're not really doing enough and we're not proactive. Such recordings will free us from that burden and will allow the general population to know more about the work of the council and of councillors. So I think it's a very worthwhile and necessary motion, and our group certainly fully supports it.
Okay, Jane's going to answer any questions at the end of it. So, Stevie?
Yes, sure. And we too are all for transparency and credibility, but I suppose we'd ask for just a bit of information from Doreen if you can. what we were hoping for was maybe even to see a report on this. I mean, like for instance, if we looked into what our other councils are doing and what the take-up levels for committee meetings are, we know from previous experience that the take-up even for full council meetings in regards to that were streamed from other councils wasn't great, but is there an appetite out there for doing it? Have somebody else done a business case for that? If any sort of way we can say what numbers there is. I mean, in terms of our current website, do we have the capacity and the storage and stuff on the website for doing that? Or would there be any web-related costings? Is there anything we have to add on or bolt on to our website that we're unaware of at this stage that we'd inadvertently be signing up to? We just want to make sure we know what we're doing here. Do we have any figures at the minute of what the take-up for the current council recordings are? You know, I suppose what we're trying to find out is there an appetite for doing the committee meetings? Is our council, you know, what we currently put up onto the website from full council, is it being regularly digested by the masses? In which case, you know, that's great. And is there any idea of the related cost in terms of our staff? Obviously, somebody has to physically go and do this. You know, presumably they have to go through and cut the recordings every time there's we're in committee items and stuff like that are discussed. So just in regards to staff or any other costs that there is, I understand that there's not a great cost in making a recording, obviously, but is there any cost in the staffing cost that we need to be aware of? But just before we make a decision on it, could we be made aware of anything that you can on there? Thanks.
Okay, Robert?
Yeah, we too will be supporting the notice of motion. I think it's very good. We need more clarity sometimes, especially after what some people have actually said at some of the meetings. I take it that they're all being recorded now. There's none of the committees are being recorded at the minute, are they?
The only one that's not recorded is the planning meeting.
Yeah, the only one, but all the rest are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I agree with Stephen there all about the costings there as well. And we might be looking for one of them sooner or later. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, thanks. Councillor Burns has covered our concerns about the cost side of things. But I'd also like to add on that the planning committee, in my opinion, should be recorded. You know, it's a vital committee. If you take a look at the legal advice that we received in our session with Stuart Beattie, he made it very clear to us that we should be recording those meetings and be under no illusion that those in the audience will also be recording them. So, you know, in a committee where we're warned so frequently about the potential of us being JR'd and that councillors may have to appear in front of the judge at some stage, you know, it's very important that we know several months down the line exactly what we did say. So I think it's important that we add the planning committee onto this and have those minutes for scrutiny as well. So I suppose if I propose that as an amendment, if Councillor Brown wants to put an amendment on.
Chairman, the issue we've got there, and I need to check this, but you know, on that was a notice of motion that was agreed by the council to not put the planning committee onto it. You can't reverse a notice of motion within 6 months of the decision having been taken. So I need to just clarify that.
6 months, Liam. It was June 16th. But again, it still would be subject to as Stephen has asked for, that we'll bring a paper on cost to whether we actually publish these on our website. But again, I would welcome the planning committee actually being recorded. Would you?
Harry?
Just to say, we're happy to support Councillor Brown's motion.
Okay. What's the amendment? Willie?
Chair, just speaking of the amendment, I think of the 6 months ago or whenever this debate took place, a large number of the council weren't in favour until they recorded the planning committee. And that was because of personal and sensitive material being discussed at the planning committee, family disputes. I sit on the planning committee, and anybody sits on the planning committee are well aware of what can be said at the planning committee. And even in regards to people's economic information as well, I just think it's a very dangerous precedent that we're going down.
because we've had a number of cases where there's been all sorts of allegations have been made against, as I say, family members, against next door neighbours, and I think it's just a very dangerous course of action, and I wouldn't be happy to go along with it.
Okay. Doreen is going to maybe answer some questions.
Thank you, councillors. I'll just answer what I can tonight. With regard to the appetite and the number of views or listens, perhaps, to the current, I don't have that information available to hand, so it's something that I can look into is whether we record that, and I'll bring that back then to council. With regard to the storage capacity and the actual ability to store them on council's website, we've looked into this since receiving the notice of motion, and we're content that we can host the recordings on a cloud-based system that will sit outside the website, but people will be directed to it from the website, and that will be with very minimal cost to council. Very nominal cost, if any at all. We're just looking into that at the minute. In terms of the actual staff costs, the staff costs with regard to the upload, again, very minimal. The majority of the staff costs really are with regard to the Democratic Services team ensuring that the rooms are appropriately set up. That staff cost is being incurred from the date that we decided to record all the minutes. The actual upload is really the only new thing here, and that again has, I suppose, a small staff cost with it.
Yes, sir. While our party has said we would support the motion in principle, would it be possible, and if I have to make a counter-proposal, will, that I agree with previous speakers in relation to cost, how many people's maybe gone in to our site and looking at it, because if it's going to be X number of pounds and half a dozen people a month is listening in, you know, is that value for money? And the counter-proposal that I would make, or Councillor Brown maybe be happy enough to defer it, is we wait till we get the figures before we vote on this motion, because if we vote on it tonight and pass it and we come back and there's X number of pounds, it's going to cost X number of pounds, you know, we then could turn around and say, well, you know, if we had knew it was that price, we wouldn't have agreed to that.
You just actually said what we were going to say, but anyway. Glenn?
Chair, I would be inclined to agree with Councillor Clark. I would have deep concerns about the planning committee in particular. Because, to be quite honest, we've got in there with some very contentious applications. There's personal quarrels going on between families. There's all sorts of medical evidence being given. There's personal details that I honestly don't think should be made public. I would have to disagree with Councillor Moran there on that. I don't honestly think it's a good idea. It would possibly be a good idea to take it back to the planning committee itself and let the councillors that's sitting on the planning committee make that decision on whether it should be recorded and broadcast or held on the website. That would be my thoughts on. If I need to make a counter proposal, I will do it there. But it's just, I do really have concerns about it.
Okay, Councillor Taylor.
Chair, yes, it's really in a similar vein that Councillor Hannah and Councillor Clark. But I'm all for transparency, and the notice of motion that was received tonight, I certainly have an issue with, and our party's already outlined our support for that. I do have genuine concerns about the planning committee, because, you know, I'm not a member of the planning committee, but I did participate in a recent planning committee meeting, and it was there for quite a while, actually, before my case was heard. And I certainly know...
Councillor!
It's still a bad manner tonight, Councillor. Sure.
There really is.
Yeah.
I would agree.
But we're...
All been recorded.
I do find, you know, and certainly from my experience, Charlie, I thought whenever Councillor Hannah and Councillor Clark had agreed with a deal on the way or something, a storm, you know. but anyway, I know from my experience that morning, being at that meeting and seeing this type of discussion that took place, there was quite a bit of sensitive information discussed. And for me, a lot of that information shouldn't be for public consumption. Because, you know, decisions will be made. and that decision that was made will be open to the public to look at. And but certainly some of the information has passed. I know even in my own case with some personal information, which in my opinion shouldn't be open to the public. I do think we need to think about the planning committee end of it before we move forward with any agreeing anything tonight. It certainly needs a discussion even at planning committee level, because they're the ones that will be impacted by it most, and I do think it needs more thought before we make any final decision on it.
Okay, so Councillor Byrne again.
Just to comment on some of the points raised there. I think
Patrick, if you want to come in at the end, because
I thought I was the last one, but then Gareth came in.
Okay.
Chair, I'll be brief.
There's
been some concern about the planning committee, but from my understanding, anyone from the public can attend the planning committee. So if someone in the public wants to attend that planning committee, there's nothing to say that they can't. So why having the recordings public is any different than a person attending the meeting itself? I don't understand where this concern is about. If there's anything medical, my understanding is that it would go into committee anyhow, where the recordings would be stopped. So the actual information about the plan application, taking out the medical information, is in committee. The rest has already been noted down. So why there is a concern around the plan committee being uploaded onto the internet to our website is baffling whenever anyone can attend it anyhow.
Chair,
just a bit less disrespect for.
Just Chair, could I, and maybe it's Liam, if for instance we were in committee and it went to court, can the court order us to disclose?
If we hold documentation, then we would have to produce it. But as if we went into committee to deal with something in private, there would be no recording kept of that.
However, we are discussing here at the minute that maybe we need a paper to be brought.
Sure, just briefly, following on from Councillor Sullivan's comments, I think it's wrong to suggest that the concerns have been outlined are baffling. They are genuine, and I think one person coming in and then everybody being able to hear what's going on, I think this should be given more consideration. I'm not saying that if they come back and the concerns can be addressed, that I'm gonna certainly object to anything, but I just think they need to give them further consideration, because planning is a fairly sensitive matter.
First of all, we're going to say that perhaps we need a paper on the discussion of the costings of this.
I would agree with those remarks. I would also have concerns. I attended a number of them planning meetings, and it's just the last planning meeting that I was at. There was a fellow that made an application up, the youngest person, and he was asked about the ownership of land, and he went on to explain that a will had been made, and then he said, "I shouldn't have said that. I'm not aware of the." He didn't want to give the. So that wasn't taken in committee, and he would have been caught on the. It leaves people in very difficult situations. I think that we need to be very careful on it.
Okay,
Liam. I have concerns about it. Like.
I just thought I was going to start and have something happen, Chairman. I think before. I appreciate that Councillor Murnin's amendment needs to be taken initially. However, could I suggest that I take a bit of legal advice on that, because also we need to let agents and members of the public that are actually presenting evidence know that there's going to be recorded, and that there's implications for them if we hold that information on a website. Again, I'd be keen to get a legal opinion on. Even in terms of getting legal advice on how you deal with it and how you bring that information forward, I think to make a decision now that we're going to start taping plan committee meetings without having taken that in, or actually making the public aware that as of such a date we will be taping the plan committee meetings and they will be there for people to hear on the website. I think we need a wee bit of advice on that, Chairman, would be my suggestion.
Folks, just to say that if you want to have, there is a breakout area if you just press the button and go on outside, because there's too many conversations going on in here when we're trying to discuss pertinent issues. Okay? You're here at full meeting. Okay?
Chair, sorry, I know I've already been in once, but just...
Don't worry, you're just following the line.
Yeah, everybody else is in there. But just on what Liam was saying there, Liam, could you obviously councillors have codes of conduct. We sign up to them. Members of the public don't. Agents don't. Is there anything that would give us sort of legal sort of coverage that if they were to go in and say any deflammatory remarks or anything that would put the council, you know, can we check that legal side of it as well? Because we have no control over what any agent or any other person comes in. If they say something, does that leave us or the council left liable? They make some deflammatory remark about somebody and we're left holding the can because it's our recording that we put up.
Jim, that's what I don't know, and I need to do that. And I think that if you're going to do it, you need to give some sort of notice in, you know, a period of time, actually publicise it, write to all the agency you're doing it from such and such date. So I'm not saying it's impossible to do, but I would like to get some sort of guidance about maybe codes of conduct or rules in terms of we did that, a bit like we did with the speaking rights, that we set sort of a context where everybody knows exactly what they're expecting when they attend the planning committee meeting in regard once it starts being recorded.
Yes, Councillor Walker.
Chair, just getting back to the point again, can we maybe have a paper presented to council with everything on it? Doreen has took a lot down there before we make a decision in this. As I stated earlier, you know, we could be making a decision, you find it's X number of pounds and that. And on the other hand, it could be next to nothing. But before we take a decision on whether we go with it, whether plans included or not, I think we need a paper back in relation to it before we can take a decision and vote on it.
You're proposing that, Councillor Walker? Okay. Councillor Mernon?
Yeah, just on what Liam has said there on the about taking legal advice and stuff on the concerns of the other councillors, whilst I don't fully agree with them all, I still see the importance of recording the planning committee. Whether we make that public or not, maybe is the question. But when we have taken advice from senior council that we should be recording our planning committee, you know, I think that's advice that we should take very seriously. Sorry, Councillor. I think that's advice that we need to take seriously, particularly when he is convinced that those that are sitting in the public gallery will be recording what we are saying. And if it comes to a case of us in JR, that's when we need to have exact knowledge of what we have said in that committee meeting, which is maybe 6-9 months previous.
Okay.
So, if you want that amendment withdrawn on the provision that we are going to look at recording, if I get the proper advice on recording the planning committee, I'll be happy to withdraw that amendment.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll have to get the paperwork.
Yes, Kevin. Yeah, I didn't mean to shout across. The proposal that now Mark's talking about is a completely different proposal that we were talking about earlier. In relation to our planning committee in particular, all refusals go to the planning committee, and a large majority of them are single dwellings in the countryside, and there's a lot of family issues with that, you know. So it's different from if we were just talking about large applications. If we're talking about large applications that was impacting, you know, a town or a village or whatever, then that's fine, you know, to have them discussions because it relates to the, you know, our constituents on a large basis. And just, as I say, I'm just concerned if we were to go down and make it public and record them meetings, the people could shout allegations from the public gallery or even when they're speaking, and they could ruin somebody's life. So you just need to bear that in mind, you know, but to protect us, that's a different proposal.
So Billy has proposed here to defer the decision until a paper to consider the planning and the cost, etc.
Chair, can I come back?
And we're just wondering, is Patrick, if you just let me...
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. And if Patrick is agreeable to that.
Well, first of all, I thought this was going to be a lot simpler than it turned out to be. I thought it was a very simple case of just uploading the recordings you already had onto the website, and as Darina points out and has thankfully done the backroom work on already preempting this, it's going to be little to no cost, marginal, and I suspect it as much because it's a very minor IT task. The minutes are already uploaded in terms of the digital typed copy anyway, so it's not that much more effort to upload the audio copy. But it's not just about cost, although the cost will be minimal and next to nothing. It's not about how many people are using it as a service. It's so that any one person, whether that be a member of the press or a member of the public, is able to access full audio recordings of the committee to increase the level of transparency as much as possible across this council, which I believe is an intrinsic good as of in itself, that we should be promoting. On the planning committee, I was very pleased to have Councillor Murnan's proposal that he's now unfortunately rejected because, again, it does not seem like there is the appetite for that. I don't understand why. Belfast City Council were able to do it, I believe, and got similar legal advice as we did. Sorry? But the planning committee is already public. Any member of the public can go, any member of the press can go. It's already an open forum, and people who are speaking, whether that be a member of the public or agents, should be aware of that before they open their mouths. But if we do make the decision to audio record it, which I hope we do at some point, all we need to do to cover ourselves is warn people that they are being recorded. Then it's their liability, presumably. I am not a lawyer, but that would be my understanding. Any inflammatory remarks made are immaterial to whether or not the committee should be audio recorded, in my opinion. I don't think there is a need to waste officer time by bringing back a paper on this topic. I believe that the cost of doing that will probably be more than uploading the audio recordings every month, most likely. But maybe we can get another paper done to look at that. I think this is a fairly simple motion, folks. Let's just vote on it tonight. If Councillor Murnan wants to remove his amendment, that's fine. But if we can just vote on the amendment as it is in front of us, I think that would be the best course of action.
Chair, my understanding is that Councillor Walker's is an amendment on the basis of the motion to say is we defer the decision tonight until such times as we have all the information in regard to Patrick's proposal and also about the recording of the planning committee, and we bring back a further paper before the decision is made. Is that my understanding of your proposal?
Yes, keep it
second. We need a second for that.
We have basically stated that we as a party have supported the motion, so we have in principle not there. What it is deferring it for the month to get the information back and then a vote on it. We don't need to debate this again, so we don't. We'll get the findings and the figures and then we'll take a straight vote on it, whether we support the motion or not.
Okay, so all in favour of Billy's amendment? You can raise your hand.
Which is to defer any decision until such times as we've got the full paper onto it and then bring it back for consideration, along with the planning committee.
Sure, can we just have clarity before we vote, please? Just, I'm a little confused, maybe I'm being silly here. If we don't go with Billy's amendment, I mean, what we're thinking is that Drina has clearly said to us that the costs are minimal at this stage. She's going to bring back a bit of information on the uptake, which we're happy enough with. So we were happy almost to support Patrick's motion in total. But what we want to make sure is that we're not supporting anything to do with the plan, because at this moment in time, we don't see how the plan committee could possibly be taped and put up as it sits at this moment in time. So if we vote with Patrick, are we including the planning in any shape or form? Or do we need somebody to come in with an amendment and say an amendment to Patrick would be that Drina brings back a report, or Liam or whoever, specifically looking at planning as a totally separate issue?
Chairman, my understanding is that Councillor Brown's motion is about the tapering of other committees. Nobody has said is they don't want that, they want information onto it. Billy's amendment is to actually agree to that in principle, but bring back a paper which will actually bring in, which will consider the planning committee meeting and in terms of usage of the sites, bring in further information back and a legal opinion about how the process that we will go through to enable this to happen.
Yes.
So you don't want to make a decision until you've got the legal opinion on putting the planning committee on. At that point in time, you'll decide whether you do that or not.
Yeah, just if I can clarify it as a proposer as well, Stevie. Basically...
All right, folks.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, Mark put in an amendment to have planning included. That's now been withdrawn, so planning is completely out of my motion. It's exactly as it is in terms of the minutes. If we follow Billy's amendment, that means that we will do some sort of analysis of planning being considered. Personally, I'm not that interested in that going ahead. I just want to see my motion passed and the minutes uploaded, which was the original intention of my motion. So if you don't want planning included, just vote against this amendment and support my motion. Thank you.
Okay. So, to go back again, all those in favour of Billy's amendment to defer until it comes back. Those against?
You've passed the vote. 16. Just put your hands up again. Just
1, 2.
Abstentions. 1 abstention. Chairman, you've passed the vote.
Never had this one yet. I had taken the month 11. So I'll go with Billy. So, because I'm not going to change my character at this point. So.
Okay, so the amendment then, you need to put the substantive,
motion.
The motion is to agree that we bring back a paper with on
no,
this
that is
yeah.
Yeah,
so that's just, but then you need to put this, that's an amendment to his
motion. Yeah.
So his motion is to bring back a paper for consideration of on the planning issues. And in terms of getting them figures to make a decision then in regard to make a final decision.
Okay.
Put that to the committee. Sure.
So, all those in favour?
Everybody? You got them all, yeah? 3-2. And against?
Against? Abstentions?
One abstention. Okay.
Chairman, that paper will be brought back to the SPNR committee. Okay. Not a chance, Chairman. Chairman, you're not going to get a legal opinion. You're not going to get a legal opinion.
Okay, item 12, the notice of motion received from Councillor Hannah, and we have a number of people who... Okay, folks, we just want to... Do you want a wee break? No? Sure? Well, then you can zip it to let the people talk. So, notice of motion received from Councillor Hannah. So, away you go there, Councillor Hannah.
This council writes to the relevant authorities to ensure that all churches, church halls and places of worship in this council area are nearly worn down should be exempt from planning fees. I think everybody in this room at some stage must have been in a church of some description. And everybody knows from the day you're born until the day you nearly put you planted it into the ground or where you commit it, whatever you want to do, churches are pretty much a central part of all our lives. First of all, they're places of worship and to be quite honest, spiritual well-being is a substantial part of a lot of people's lives. It's taken very seriously. And moving on just from that, the simple things like it's a massive community. Churches provide massive community facilities from youth clubs, mothers and toddlers, Sunday schools, holiday Bible clubs, senior citizens clubs. It's all theirs, it is. And just on that, they do provide a facility that the council possibly
would struggle to provide to the wood, and it's pretty much anybody can get into them, so they can. And we need a fairly consistent approach to it, in my view. I've spoke to Kenneth about this, and he can maybe give some clarification. Just on the notes for reference on planning application, I'll read what it actually says. No fee is payable for an application where the council is satisfied that it is made on behalf of a club, society or organisation, including any persons administrating a trust which is not established or conducted for profit and following conditions specified or satisfied, and that is provision of community facilities. I believe churches do fulfil that criteria. On that there, they are pretty essential in the community, and I will commend this motion to everyone. I hope you will be able to support it there. I know there is some slight concerns about it there. What brought this to a head with myself was my own church applied for an application, and I don't know why you would call the planning officers belligerent or what you would call them, but they seem to adopt the policies of the day of making things difficult. Most churches, to be quite honest with you, are registered, or most places of worship are registered with the Charities Commission, and they are charities that are. So, to be quite honest with you, I think our council area would be very much taking a leadership role if we'd actually adopted this motion there of places of worship being exempt from planning fees. Thank you, Chair.
Just for clarification purposes, the Councillor Hannah's motion is not involved, is that the legislation governing exemptions is the legislation for the Department for Infrastructure. So it's not a council don't set the fees, planning fees, or they don't set the rules regarding exemptions and planning fees. That's done by the Department for Infrastructure. So that's why it would need to be, you know, we would need to get the department to agree to any changes onto it. But that's just for clarity purposes. No councillors are aware of that.
Just on that, some churches seem to have a council, some don't. A church facility. It's just hard to understand.
It's the discretion is if the register is a charity for charitable purposes. Is what the, I haven't got the legislation, but it has to be registered for a charity. But not all churches are registered as charities. Yeah, sure. I can provide you with a piece of legislation, but it's for charitable purposes, is the reference.
Okay. Terry?
Thank you very much, Chair. In relation to this motion, we will be seconding this on account that when Mark H. Starkham was Minister of the Environment towards the end of the previous mandate of the Northern Ireland Assembly, he did a body of work on this, on these topics before leaving office. And as I say, he tried to get it put through, but as I say, with the dissolution of the Assembly, it put paid to that. But overall, we are supporting the motion on the basis that we do support the call for the Council to write to the relevant authorities to ensure that the bodies listed, etc., that this is taken into consideration, and we await that reply in due course. So, we're, as the SLP, we're seconding the motion and supporting it.
Cadogan?
Chairperson, I'm making a friendly amendment as an addendum to this motion. And I'd like to add on that the existing regulations on charitable purposes be properly implemented in our council. Now, I say this because there's been a misunderstanding by our planning department about how the whole charitable exemption works. The regulations that were brought in 5 years ago were for charitable purposes. They did not require a charitable status of the organisation because the charitable status only came in 2 to 3 years ago. So when the charitable purposes regulations was first introduced, there was no such thing as a charity in Northern Ireland. Furthermore, it is possible that an organisation that is registered as a charity is bringing something forward as a money-making exercise, whereas it's entirely possible that a community organisation that's not registered as a charity is bringing forward something that has a charitable purpose. So the underlying exemption is rooted in the charitable purpose, not the charitable organisation. Now, at the moment, I have two planning applications which I'm challenging council over. They are identical. In one planning application, I have received exemption because the charitable purpose was clear. In the other application, the planners insisted that the organisation itself should have a charitable status, which is against the regulations. Now, I've been trying very hard to get an answer from the Chief Planning Officer to stand this up over the last number of months in order to take the Council to the Ombudsman, because they will clearly lose on this particular case. So what I'm saying to you is the Council is failing to implement the regulations as introduced, and I'm asking that we add an addendum that the existing regulations on charitable purposes are properly introduced in our Council. And the existing regulations do not require an organisation to be registered with the Charities Commission, because the Charities Commission only came in 2.5 years after the regulations were introduced. Thank you.
Jill? Thank you. Thanks to Councillor Hannah for bringing forward this motion tonight. Churches, church halls and places of worship do play an important role in our local communities and provide charitable support for many individuals, families and community groups. So, based on this, the Welsh Unionist Party grouping will be supporting the motion. Thank you. Billy?
Thank you, Chair. And our party would also be supporting Councillor Hannah's motion. He has hit on a number of good, valid points, namely, a lot of church properties are used on a cross-community basis. They do a lot of good work. For example, in my own town, St. Mary's... Councillor Enright, I'm speaking. St. Mary's, Starless D, Kilray, St. John's Parish, Kilray Presbyterian Churches, all have good, vibrant communities using them. Should it be the Cubs, the Scouts, the Guides, pensioners, organisations and that there. And I believe it's only right that they are exempt. So they are, because the excellent work they do, and the good cross, I know I'm speaking for my own town, but the good cross community partnerships and then working together and that there. And I believe that they should be exempt. So they should. So we're supporting the motion.
Glenn, could you open with interrupting him? Now you're interrupting your own motion, okay? Thanks, Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose to start with, I'd recognise the excellent work that churches and church organisations do in the community, as many other groups do in the community. But Sinn Féin have concerns about this particular motion, particularly what will the cost be to council, and any future changes in fee exemptions. It'll have an impact on the ratepayer. It'll certainly have an impact on the rates. Officers need to be directed to applications for no fee. Many of these could be large applications, and a lot of time working with statutory consultees, conservation organisations, and built heritage. You know, there could be a considerable amount of work to be carried out in regards to this. In regards to if we're writing to the Department of Infrastructure, if they're willing to fit the bill and the gap in the finances in regards to that, then that's a different matter, but I would say they wouldn't be. And Minister Mark H. Durkin did carry out the review. Where did that go? I would say if it's going anywhere, it would be that the council picks up the tab for any changes to the legislation. So I think it's a dangerous precedent to be going down. This council suffered badly when planning powers transferred to council. The required number of staff were not provided, and at considerable cost to ourselves. We had taken a considerable number of staff to fill that void. In regards to, every hall, it could be linked to a church, some sort of church. You could end up with, setting a church up overnight and then linking it till that particular church. There's no idea about the size of the applications or the major applications. It's very ill thought out. It's a bit like the previous motion we were talking about in regards to even planning. There's a lot of detail that we haven't got. And the councillors do this all the time. We go through the process of setting rates, and then we come in and change the whole scenario. So
I'm not very comfortable, and Sinn Féin is not comfortable with regards to this, particularly, as I said, for the loss of revenue to the council. And what will that be? We have no idea how much loss of revenue that will be. And the proposer of the motion or the seconder didn't provide any information of how many applications we would be talking about per year on average, even at looking at past applications over previous years, just to even give us an understanding what the amount of resources we're talking about. Will it run into hundreds of thousands? What are we talking about? At the end of the day, what safety mechanisms then could be built in? What caps could be put in place? We don't want to end up with an RHI fiasco, where there's no caps or anything put in place. And funny enough, that comes from the DUP as well. But on a serious note, we really need to be careful in what you're doing here. Because this is, at the end of the day, this is ratepayers' money that you're giving away. And so, Sinn Féin will have many concerns in regards to this. And I'll be interested in what comes back from the proposer.
Henry?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would like to agree with Councillor Hannah's notice of motion. Anyone who knows the work that churches do, they can only be highly recommended for their work, the way they interact with local communities. And it really does seem that it is a question of interpretation. The legislation is there, but it depends on how, from what I can see in this council, how the Chief Planning Officer interprets that. And we need clarity. And it won't cost a lot of money to get that clarity, but certainly I've seen sports clubs that have received the dispensation of free planning because they were a community, seen it, regarded as a community aspect or asset. So, I can't see any reason why it shouldn't be extended to churches. And, this suggestion from Sinn Féin that you'll get churches springing up overnight and then putting in to build massive halls, I think there, again, there has to be some sense of reality about this. These are churches that have been established for hundreds of years and have been providing that service to the community. They are non-profit making. And in many instances, they have small congregations, and those are the only facilities that they can rely on. So there is that need, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, can I just also point out that if you use the criteria that you use to deny my notice of motion going to full council, this motion would have went to Planning Committee and Councillor Brown's notice of motion would have went to SPR. And it does really seem discriminatory against me. I know I don't want to be liked by anyone, but certainly, Madam Chair, all councillors.
Okay, can we have Andy, please?
Madam Chair, all councillors should receive party. Madam Chair, why are you so rude?
I am not so rude.
You are rude. You won't listen to any contribution unless it suits you, Madam Chair. And I see Liam sitting beside you. He's the chief man in this council. He should be advising you, Madam Chair, to give councillors the right to speak in this chamber.
And you've had the right to speak at another motion.
And I was going to ask for an explanation why the differing set of criteria for one notice of motion in comparison to another. I think I'm entitled to know that now.
Okay,
Madam
we're
Chair.
Actually speaking in this notice of motion at the minute. So
okay, whenever it finishes, I would expect it. I think I'm entitled to that, Madam Chair.
Okay, and maybe the next time you've noticed motion, you'll be at it. So, Andy?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I suppose coming from my point of view,
Excuse me, Councillor Rennie. Andy's speaking now on Glenn's proposal. No, you're the one shaking your head. Maybe we'll cancel the meeting. Andy?
I know from my own town, how the Catholic Welland churches work together, no matter what the denomination, be it the Roman Catholic Chapel in St. Malachy's or my own church that I attend, Catholic Welland Presbyterian. Just listening to the motion that was put, I think it's one of equity with charitable status and stuff like that, so I think it's quite legitimate and I will be supporting the motion for one of equity with the charitable status. And I'm sure as well that whenever other churches in the other areas put together social hubs and really work hard at bringing all sections of the community across the threshold, so to speak. And I'm sure no church, I mean, I'm sure council or churches wouldn't not want to pay council what is owed to council. So I'd be supporting the motion as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
David?
Yes,
Andy, can you please help, thanks.
The motion seems to refer to specifically to Christian churches of denominations. Without so we include Muslim.
Yes, it says churches, church halls, and places of worship.
Right, okay, thank you.
Okay, Glenn, would you like to sum up?
Sure.
Sorry, Glenn.
Sure, just a wee bit more clarity on it. Why would we want to give? I mean, if they get charitable status, do we automatically not are we at the penalty? So basically, the idea in this worship, and every place of worship is automatically getting charitable status from us in terms of planning applications. We're not going to charge them any. We're gifting that. Why do we need to give them that as a council when there's already a mechanism that they can go make themselves a charity, get charitable status? It's already recognised in statute and all the rest, and that therefore they get it automatically. All we're doing in that case is we're automatically gifting it to them without them having to go and do what every other charity does. And that leaves us, in my opinion, open for fraud, because we need to know. I don't know, for instance, what the definition of a place of worship is. I know a lot of people who would say, you know, going to watch their local football team is their place of worship. I mean, I'm being very, very honest here. Well, how who are we to sit and define what a place of worship is? Do you know what I mean? You know, do I worship the wife? Does that mean every time I'm in the house? Do I not need to pay for planning permission people for an extension? You know, I'm very serious about this, sir. This is just so open-ended. And when they say about that things like this being open to fraud, this is open every direction. And anybody that is considering voting for this, I think, is absolutely lunatic. So, sir, can I ask if we do go for a vote that it is a recorded vote so we know each councillor made this decision and they made it in full conscience because it's taped? So can we have a recorded vote on this too?
Okay. In addition to that, I think Liam has already indicated that this would have to come from central government as well. So, Pete?
Chair, just one point just on the last one. Yep.
You need to put on your light, Cadogan. There is a point of order of the light. So Pete was in there first. Okay, Pete or Cadogan. Turn off the other one.
Councillor Burns was reflecting current council policy where she kind of believes you need to have charitable status within the organisation to get charitable exemption. The chief planner is incorrect. The regulations are quite clear. If you have a charitable purpose, whether you are registered as a charity or not, you are able to claim charitable status. I made that as a friendly amendment to the main motion. And it's quite clear that we are being misled as to what is the nature of charitable exemption. It's a charitable purpose, not that it should not be the status of the organisation. Yes, legislation is quite clear, and Candice will be into it before.
Okay.
For point of order, I didn't mention the chief planner in any shape or form. That's just a total misrepresentation of what I said. What I'm saying is, you can't speak for me. Just talk to yourself for a change. Sir, all I'm saying is, the motion clearly says churches, church halls, and places of worship. And I'm asking, what is a place of worship? How do we define a place of worship? Are we in a council in a position to define a place of worship? You know, and if somebody comes up and says, me and my friends worship in our barn and we want to extend it, do this council have to turn around and say, no, well, we have it in an emotion there and we have no way of defining it, so therefore you must be right. I'm saying that it's just the way it's written is so open up to abuse, it is unbelievable. And that's why I asked for a recorded vote. But I never mentioned the chief planner because it doesn't suit your argument. That's all you're worried about. I'm concerned about the wording of the motion and the implications and how it leaves this council wide open for fraud and abuse.
Patrick, Pete, you were coming in before that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to make a point on Councillor Burns' last comment, and just to clarify Mark H. Duncan's position as the previous minister in 2015, when he did bring in a number of fee exemptions for, you know, alterations to houses for disabled access, other use classes, other, and some not-for-profit organisations being able to be exempt from fees. And that did, as Cadogan had said, include that if you do have a not-for-profit organisation, it doesn't have to be registered as a charity, but you can get your fee exempt. I suppose on that point, it's just I took offence to the word, to the term lunatic from Councillor Burns, and I just wanted to put that on record, that there was legal advice sought by Mark H. and a number of churches, and this had come from also policy or legislation that was in England and Scotland as well, that a number of churches were currently being exempt from fees while other churches weren't, and it was to clarify the legislation, and he sought legal advice, and that's the position before the end of term came. I do believe that he had a meeting with all the chief executives as well before the end of that term, 2016, and asked that each council get legal advice themselves, but it was basically just to clarify that if they have a not-for-profit organisation, then they are able to have their fees or planning fees exempt. So I suppose a point that sort of has just been raised in there, yeah, the wording of it in all churches, church halls and places of worship, we probably do need to work on the wording of it because it might already exist, the exemptions.
Patrick?
Yeah, Stevie's asking about a definition. A place of worship is a specially designed structure or consecrated space where individuals or a group of people, such as a congregation, come to perform acts of devotion, veneration, or religious study. A building constructed or used for this purpose is sometimes also called a house of worship. Now, I know, Stevie, you may religiously support Man United, but I'm not sure that your living room or Savage's Bar quite would count as a place of worship in that case. What's that? A place of worship is a specially designed structure or consecrated space. Yeah. But where individuals or a group of people, such as a congregation, come to perform acts of devotion, veneration, or religious study. Yeah?
What? Okay, Stevie. Okay, enough. Glyn?
Thanks, Chair.
Are you accepting?
I will accept Councillor Enright's amendment, so okay. I will accept. Thank you, Councillor Enright. And thank you, Councillor Brown, for your definition of worship there. I hope Councillor Burns understands it, say this. It's not Manchester United all the time. No, I'm happy enough. We have to remember that churches do provide a lot of facilities, so to be quite honest, we couldn't do without them. The council can never provide them in the way that the churches do. So I would commend the motion to everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Nice.
Chair, we need clarity in regards to this. Chair, I thought in the summing up we would have got some clarity in regards, if you're talking about the department, the infrastructure is going to pay for these applications, or is it this council, and much will this cost this council?
Okay.
Could somebody maybe clarify that?
Okay.
Chair, could I just answer that? I believe that there's not a massive amount of money involved in this. It's not a massive amount of money. I don't know if there's that many churches getting built in the country, so there's not a massive amount of money. If this council cannot be generous enough, if this church cannot be generous enough there to support the entire community facilities, I really question what this council's coming to.
Okay. Whilst we've had this, legislation needs to be changed, and that needs to obviously come from central government. So what we would probably need to do then is to write to them. Okay, so do you want to add? Well, it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. So you're happy enough with that? Okay.
Just for clarity, I take it that Councillor Enright's motion is that a broader analysis or a broader interpretation of charitable status is considered, and again, that's something we need to take in terms of a legal opinion. Okay. They are fully implemented by this council. Chairman, they are fully implemented. We adhere to the legislation in regard to it. So if you want the legislation clarified or made specific, it will require the department to do that. But
okay.
Chair, can I have the clarity? Are we talking, is the motion that we write to the Department of Infrastructure for them to introduce these changes and to pick up the tab?
It's what we pick up the tab isn't included into it, Chairman, but for want of a better word, it's a real right to the Department of Infrastructure to change the legislation to include churches and places of worship specifically and not charitable status, which we interpret as charities. But the bill isn't included in it, Chairman.
So, Glenny, are you going to ask for the bill to be included in it? Okay. So it's recorded. Council would take up the tab. So recorded. Okay. Motion as amended. And a recorded vote.
Okay. So Councillor Andrews.
Yes.
For Councillor Bailey, absent. Councillor Patrick Brown. Councillor Robert Burgess. Councillor Stephen Burns. Councillor Pete Byrne. Councillor Michael Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Dermot Curran. Councillor Devlin.
Not here.
Not here. Absent. Councillor Dorn, absent. Councillor. It's not there. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Four.
Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Herty. Councillor Highland. Councillor Kimmins absent. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Lochran. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer.
Which one?
Councillor Declan McAteer, sorry. Councillor Kevin McAteer absent. Councillor Andy McMurray. Councillor McGrew. Councillor Mornin. Councillor O'Gribben. Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Luan. Councillor Sharvin.
Away.
Wait. Councillor Stokes, absent. Councillor Taylor, abstaining. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Traynor. Councillor Walker. One, two, three, four, five. Sorry, what you got? 24, 9 against, and 3 abstentions. So the motion's carried.
The motion's carried.
Chairman, just to clarify, I can clarify Councillor Riley's. I give him a copy of the notice of motion. The notice of motions in relation to the council has powers in relation to, is not prevented from taking any action other than by legislation which directly affects local government district or its residents, of which the council is legally competent. And in regard to 16.16, any motion which being moved should be referred to the committee if that is an issue for the committee to be decided on. So that's the differential. This is not an issue for the planning committee because they can't make decisions on it, but yours is a decision where the committee can make a decision in terms of the operation of the council.
Right. Thank you. Madam Chair, can I just ask you, whenever I asked this question, you said if you would attend meetings, you might get
somewhere. Yeah, there was one of the meetings.
I would like to know, why did you feel the need to be rude? And I would ask you to apologise. If I can't attend a meeting and I put in an apology, which I did, and asked for that notice of motion to be deferred for another month. Now, I would ask you to apologise and say sorry.
I apologise to you.
Right, thank
I'm
you.
So sorry, Henry. So sorry.
There's no need to be. There's no need to be.
I'm so sorry if you feel I was rude to you.
No, and there's no need to be facetious or rude or the way you behave. There's no need for that, Madam Chair. Thank
you. Absolutely not. I know, Henry, that at times whenever you've been extremely rude to me, there's been no need for it either, but you felt the need to continue to do it on several occasions. Okay, Gushing.
No, sorry, Chairman, we need to take a proposal now to suspend standing orders, and it has to be done by 80% members present and voting, and then we can take the notice of motion.
Okay. Proposed and seconded by Patrick Burke. We have our proposal in favour.
All in favour?
Yep.
Everybody happy enough? We're just standing orders first of all. Okay, Chair. First of all, thank you very much for allowing us to take this motion at this late stage, but I think it reflects well on the feeling of anger and frustration out there. The motion that we would be putting in front of you tonight is that Newry, Mourne and Down District Council expresses its opposition to the proposals from the Southern Health and Social Care Trust to suspend services in the emergency department at Daisy Hill Hospital, Newry. The Council commends our hard-working NHS staff, particularly at a time when our health service is under pressure as a result of Tory cuts. Recognising the importance of our local emergency department, we demand that the Trust maintains a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service by ensuring that the unit is appropriately staffed at all times, and that this Council will convene an emergency meeting with the Trust as soon as possible. Chair, it's extremely upsetting that we again find ourselves talking about Daisy Hill Hospital. On this occasion, it is the emergency department that is under threat. And apparently this is because of the Trust's failure to recruit and maintain skilled staffing levels in the unit. I would like to ask if patients can be expected to travel Trust-wide for appointments. Surely the consultants' contracts would also state that they would be asked to work within the Trust in whatever emergency department they are needed. The staffing levels are disproportionate between Daisy Hill Hospital and Craigavon. And I again just want to reiterate that point. Is it in the contracts of the consultants that they are servicing the Trust or an individual hospital? Because I believe our contract should state that they go where they are needed, because patients are not given the choice to be seen in their local hospital. If you're given the first available appointment, which can be basically anywhere. Recent consultation documents from the Trust state that the Trust is accountable to the people and the community for quality, accessibility and responsiveness of its services they provide. We are not seeing that in Daisy Hill Hospital at the minute. Newry and Mourne area currently has the fourth largest population in the six counties, and that is expected to rise to the third largest over the next 10 years. Where is the forward planning within the Trust? Surely they should be building this department, not taking it down. Last year, 53,500 people attended the emergency department. If even a portion of this has to go to the Craigavon area hospital, we are only heading in one direction, for absolute disaster. Because in Craigavon last year, we saw 26,500 patients who had to wait for between 5 and 12 hours for treatment, and 369 who waited for more than 12 hours. We have seen much in the media where it has been said that the travel time from Newry to Craigavon is only 40 minutes. I unfortunately, like many people, have had the need to travel that road, and I can assure you that I did not do it in 40 minutes from Newry. But the actual travel time for those of us who live in South Armagh or Warren Point, Restrever, Kilkee, is not 40 minutes. That is a smokescreen. It is at least an hour and a half. I would also question, what about the rest of the staff in the emergency department? Are they be asked to stay at home on the days that the adequate cover is not found? Or will they be expected to travel at short notice for up to an extra hour to get to and from work? It also leads questions into, what about the radiographers and the lab staff that are recruited in Daisy Hill to support the emergency department? The Trust has a duty of care not just to its patients, but also to its staff. In short, the threat of reduced services in Daisy Hill Emergency Department is a disaster of epic proportion for every man, woman and child throughout our district. And we join the people that elected us as representatives in not asking the Trust to provide the adequate staff, but demanding it. Thank you very much, Chair. Pete.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I second Councillor McGrew's motion and welcome the opportunity to speak out here tonight. As a resident of a rural area dependent on Daisy Hill Hospital, any removal or dilution of services is of grave concern to me. And going back as far as 2001, the Hayes report acknowledged the importance of Daisy Hill Hospital remaining an acute hospital due to the large rural area that it spanned, and that goes from Cullaville to Kilkeel. That still remains the case today, but is of even greater importance following the loss of the minor injuries unit in Armagh and also the Kilkeel out of hours facility. Any reduction in the emergency department would put lives at risk, with none more so than those who live in the rural areas. Given the geographical spread of the Southern Trust area, can patient safety actually be guaranteed? Ambulance waiting times in rural areas are 5 to 6 times the acceptable average, and GP services have been pushed to their limit in recent years. To further strip valuable services from rural communities is completely unacceptable and should be challenged by all sides of the community. Looking at the issue at hand, the possible withdrawal of services from Daisy Hill's emergency department is not solely down to cuts, but to some degree is due to a lack of workforce planning within the Trust. And also, as political parties, we must recognise the duty we have to ensure that institutions are restored and departments are back up and running as soon as possible. While there has been considerable efforts from the Trust to recruit senior medical staff, they must be given the maximum support from within the health system and, more importantly, urgent attention from the Department of Health. I actually got the chance to read over the literature used for recruiting consultants to the area, and I was to some degree impressed with it, from the clinical director for emergency medicine, Dr. Garrett Hampton, to the testimonies of past doctors who worked in Daisy Hill. The hospital has been sold well. The previous Minister for Health talked about the need to make packages more attractive in order to entice consultants. I feel that the current brochure has started to do just that. The literature says Nairy is a great place to work and live, highlighting landscape, local attractions and the fact that we have the lowest cost of living in the area. Relocation expenses, other perks have also been included, but the Trust continues to struggle to attract the staff needed. Maybe we need to think outside the box. And just as Councillor McGrew stated earlier, where consultants are hired on a Trust-wide basis and not solely hired through the hospitals. These are conversations that need to be had between the Trust, ourselves and also the Department of Health as a matter of urgency. Last week it was reported that 38 patients were waiting on hospital beds at Daisy Hill, which goes some way to showing the level of stress on the current services. Year on year, the number of patients attending Daisy Hill Emergency Department is on the increase, where over 50,000 patients have attended in the last year alone. The scale of this workload has put huge pressure on the current consultants, where a senior consultant has been planning to retire for a number of years also. The service struggling on with the use of locum staff is now at the point of crisis, the breaking point. I welcome the call that a delegation from the Council meets with the Trust to discuss routes to avert this crisis. I, along with some of my party colleagues, and I'm sure other parties among us here as well, will be meeting with the Acting Chief Executive of the Southern Trust, Steve McNally, in Craigavon tomorrow morning to put forward our strong opposition to any withdrawal of services from the emergency department. I hope that as a group of councillors here tonight, we can come together and stand strong on such a critical issue.
Glenn?
Chair, on this here, I have my concerns too, and to be quite honest with you, the massive concern I have on this whole issue, the City Hospital said that its accident emergency was closed temporarily. This now seems to be a come permanent. Downpatrick was downgraded. Seems to be a come permanent. So Daisy Hill, I would be frightened to go the same way. But in the same thing, I would have to say something that I believe Sinn Féin are hypocrites in this here, so they are. They pulled Stormont down.
They pulled Stormont down, as far as I can see, and now they've left us with no health ministers to the health. We have no way of backing this whatsoever, so I haven't. It's going to be probably the Secretary of State will make decisions on this. Sinn Féin bear responsibility for all of this. We have no control over it whatsoever now, unless they decide to get a road to Damascus vision and get wise up. So, but on that there, Chair, what do you say, Wally? Well, you were in something else earlier on.
Stick with the title.
Okay. On that there, there's no community any more isolated than what the Mourne community is. Rushing to about an hour and a half is at least that to Craigavon, and you're over the worst roads you can really pick in Northern Ireland, so you are. It's actually nearly easier to go to Belfast than it is from Kilkeel. We're very, very isolated, so are. Daisy Hill, it seems to be a problem of attacking doctors, as you said, Peter said it is. I don't know what the problem is. Packages, whatever it is for them, the answer needs to be found. We need to act in the emergency in Daisy Hill, and we need to sustain the services at all costs up there. So I'll be supporting, so thank you.
Okay, David?
Chair, thank you. There's no doubt there's widespread fear in the local community about the possible suspension of A&E services at Daisy Hill Hospital. I certainly dread the thought of the consequences of not having that service provided to us in the near area, because I think every one of us has had the benefit or had to use that service at some time or other, and we're eternally thankful for the service, the high quality service that we do provide, that is provided whenever anyone or any family member has sought and received treatment at the hospital. My party has met with the Trust on a regular basis regarding various issues, and this issue has come up in discussion in the past, and Trust officials have tried to provide assurances regarding the fact that they have tried to identify the necessary staff, but I'm not so sure we're at that, that I think has been done, because we find ourselves with a political vacuum at the minute, and the Trust, to a certain extent, have their hands tied because of that, because there is no direction from the top at executive level, and there is a need for some sort of like local accountability, where people like ourselves as elected representatives, we have a duty to represent the people on issues like this, where we have local people to try and encourage them to do all that they can to provide the necessary resources to health trusts and services such as that, where they can attract the expertise that we do need. But we do need to work collectively together as a council to bring this to successful conclusion, to ensure that the services that we do have at Daisy Hill are protected and maintained, and even improved as we go further along into the future, because it has been emphasised that we are a growing population, and in some respects we are an isolated population as well, because of the strongly rural context that there is to South Armagh and the Mourne area, and the thought of having to travel to Belfast or even Craigavon to receive emergency treatment just isn't satisfactory at all. So we do need to come together as a council to try and give some direction locally on this. Certainly I support the motion as it stands, but I do think there is a need that there should be leadership shown at the very top level of politics here in Northern Ireland, where we do get together again as an executive and work for the benefit of every one of us, because it's issues like this that shows us that we need to work together, and there shouldn't be any sort of political digs made at times like this. But certainly I support the request for a meeting, and would ask that it does take place as a matter of urgency.
Okay. Thank you, David. Cadogan, I think you're right. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. This situation is very similar to what happened in Downpatrick. Councillor Kern and I sit on a finance committee in the South Eastern Trust, and we've received written confirmation that all contracts are no longer site-specific. Mm-hmm. What's happened in our trust area is that the council simply decided to allocate available staff to Belfast rather than to allocate them to Downpatrick. Furthermore, in Downpatrick, the Trust completely accepts that there is still a clinical need for a 24-hour accident and emergency service. Downpatrick has not been downgraded. They're simply saying they can't find the staff. Budget is not an issue either. Only as recently as the end of last year, I established that the budget for the accident and emergency department in Downpatrick was still there. They claim that recruitment is the issue. Thus, they've let the sword fall on Downpatrick, despite clinical need for a 24-hour our accident and emergency still being in place in the Downpatrick area, and despite a budget being available to hire 24-hour accident and emergency staff. We see a situation where ambulances are then dispatched to Belfast, and our area is then stripped of ambulance cover. And we all know incidents like where a woman lay in Market Street for an hour with no ambulance to pick her up. We know of instances in Newcastle which were even worse. So, you know, you're only going to get now in Newry what we've been getting in Downpatrick this last year or two. And they're going to use exactly the same reason with you as they have with us. There are no contractual issues here. They simply decided that Craigavon's more important than Newry. Now, we were less than challenging compared to the Down Council on the situation in the Down Hospital. Now that Newry Hospital is being affected by exactly the same excuse, we have no excuse other than to pull together and deal with this in a very forthright manner. It's quite clear that the clinical need in Newry for a 24-hour accidents emergency service has not changed. They're claiming it's purely personnel. We know from correspondence with the trusts over the last few years that contracts are no longer done on a site-specific level. They've simply decided that staff, where they are available, should not be allocated to Newry and should not be allocated to Belfast. And this is wholly unacceptable, and it's surely something we can all fight on. Thank you.
Thank you, Cadogan. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you. This is a critical issue to all the people of Newry and Mourne, and South Armagh in particular, and Mourne are two areas, two rural areas. The Chairman, I am very disappointed because approximately a year ago, I think it was, a lot of us seen this coming, and there was huge demonstrations organised by political parties, public speeches, and as a result of that, there was a committee formed on this council that was meant to replicate the role of the old health committee on the legacy Newry and Mourne. Now, it met once, and these issues were all flagged up. Now, I know that the unions and the even the health trust itself very much miss the effectiveness of that old health committee, because health is such a pivotal issue to all our people that it should be a full council meeting once every couple of months where you bring these people in, find out what their issues are and how you can help. Now, and one of the things that was discussed at that initial meeting was the fact that we needed to try and sell Newry and Mourne on the benefits of living here, the educational standards, the golf clubs and all those types of facilities, because that's what attracts a lot of these top consultants. Now, the other issue is that Brexit will actually make it easier to recruit the type of people we want, because there were so many people coming from Eastern Europe, and I heard you on about that one time about your own business, people from Indian subcontinent and China, whatever, who would like to come here to gain acute medical experience, but they can't get in. They simply cannot get in because the bar's been set so high. And Cameron done that to reduce overall immigration levels because he couldn't stop people coming in from Eastern Europe. But now, with Brexit coming, it will be a points-based system, and hopefully we will be able to attract people. So the most important thing now is that we maintain accident and emergency in Daisy Hill, even with the locums that we have, who have been outstanding, and I mean outstanding. Figures there, 50,000 people come through it in a year, and the dedication of those doctors is just outstanding, and all those staff in Daisy Hill. And we must remember that this is a teaching hospital. The skills and expertise that are being developed in Newry and Daisy Hill, you know, that adds to the whole value of our community. It creates jobs, it keeps those in the area. And past SDLP Councillor John McArdle, he would often have said, if you lose A&E, you lose the heart of the hospital, because the ability to take blood samples and get those tested immediately for enzymes and all this type of thing, that you lose that facility when you lose A&E, and then all that would go to Craigavon. So you become a second base unit within the health service. So it's really important. And I don't want to bring politics into it, but it's been mentioned here about the assembly, and I would appeal to the big parties, get the thing up and running again. you know, Michelle O'Neill was the health minister. Surely the goodness, we should be able to go to her and say, look, Michelle, this needs sorted. We need to get this sorted for the sake of Nurian Mourne. And that big border community as well, that now relies on Nurian Mourne more than ever, with Drogheda and Monaghan being downgraded. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Billy?
Thank you very much. And I will also be supporting the motion. What we see here is a replication of what has been happening in the Down over the last number of years. Now, I think it's about time we as a council and we as a people out there says enough is enough. We all remember, now I know one of my last acts as chairman of Down District Council was to speak and address 20,000 people in Downpatrick in relation to the closure of A&E in that in the Down and other services withdrawn from the Down. I do know that at the time, because I've seen it in the press, that there was thousands on the streets of Newry in relation to threatened cuts at Daisy Hill. And I think that what the health trusts are doing is they're prioritising hospitals. For example, they're saying, well, Craigavon will be your port of call for the Newry, Cross McGlen area, South Armagh area, etc. Up here in Down District, it's the Ulster. We all see and we all know what happens when accident and emergency units are closed at hospitals. We have people then crowding and overcrowding hospitals such as the Ulster, such as Craigavon. More important cases, there's trolley waits for hours and hours. Now that is wrong. And they've played this out and they've said it time in, time out where the Down was concerned. And they'll say the same thing in relation to Daisy Hill, that they can't get the staff. And I believe that's down to the BMA. They're dictating where doctors and that and staff can go. So they are. And we're getting that excuse that a doctor or someone, consultant, does not want to work in the Down. They do not want to work in Daisy Hill. This type of nonsense has to stop at the end of the day. There should be legislation passed where if the department takes a decision that we need 10 consultants or whatever in the Down, Daisy Hill or wherever, that they go there. They go there, so they do. Now, the excuse we get is, oh, they'll leave here and they'll not come here. They'll go overseas. You know, we don't know that. I think that's a scare tactic. So it is. And to be quite frank, I believe now that we knew this was coming down the line, or they knew this was coming down the line months ago in relation to Daisy Hill. And in the past, I have, and I'll do it again. In the past, we had a spanking new hospital up there. The very week it was opening, the minister then, at the time, closed beds. Then we had another minister that done away, for example, with our accident and emergency. And I said that was wrong and I criticised them. And I think the previous minister has to bear some responsibility. Now, there's people in this council chamber who knows me from Down Council, the old Down Council. I criticised my old ministers when they thought they were wrong and weren't getting it right on health issues. I criticised their predecessor, who was Mr. McGimsey. Now, I am saying as well that the minister who has just went out of office has to bear some responsibility here for what is happening. You know, she needs to take the bull by the horns. I've said that to my own ministers in the past. You need to take the bull by the horns and deal with the problem in that. And the only way this can be resolved is because, make no doubt about it, there will be more cuts if we have direct rule ministers coming in. And every party, bar the minute, Sinn Féin, are up for a deal to get Stormont up and running again. We've read lines from certain parties that are hindering it. And the only way we're going to resolve this, not just health, but other issues, such as infrastructure and that there, and roads and that, the only way this is going to be resolved is we get our assembly up and running again. Now, some councillors maybe laugh at that. It's a fact. It's a fact. When we don't have a functioning assembly, we're going down the tubes here, so we are. We are going down the tubes, so we are. And we need it up and running, so we do.
Thanks, Billy. Terry?
Hi, thank you, Chair. And we are in a very serious crisis with Daisy Hill, and I never had so much lobbying from my own area. Like, Cross Madeleine, Cullerville is like Kilkeel and that. It's an hour and a half good drive to Craigavon Hospital. And we have the serious issue with ambulance service for on many an accident that happened. We were over an hour waiting for the ambulance to come. And it resulted in many a time at night for a sick child, or that would be where parents would just grab the child and run for the A&E in Daisy Hill. Like to travel on to Craigavon, like it is putting lives at risk of the people in Kilkeel and the Mourns and the people of South Armagh. You know, so it is a very serious crisis. It's just disappointed with the attitude that some of the parties took here tonight, and I just want to clear up on Councillor Walker. All parties in the assembly are not up for a deal. He needs to check that one out. All parties are clearly, or what they're saying is totally different. They are not up for a deal. I'm very disappointed with Glenn Hannah. His attitude. Glenn's very clear who took the assembly down. He's very clear that corruption on his own party took the assembly down. I'm not disappointed, not surprised at what Councillor Reilly has come out with, but I think now we're in the situation where Glenn's trying to keep up with him. But I'd ask them all to withdraw from these remarks and work together to try and secure the A&E and Daisy Hill and try and save the lives of people in the Mourns and South Armagh areas like that.
Okay, Declan.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yeah, and we do have a responsibility really to be factual in this here and not over alarmist, you know. Can't forget really this is an issue of recruitment, and if anybody can carefully read the statement put out by the trust, it's actually very similar to a warning that was posted prior to Christmas, and thankfully the Christmas critical period and the winter critical period was got over without any closure at Daisy Hill accident emergency. So we have to bear that in mind. If you read it, actually, it said that there would be the senior medical cover only would be in danger, and only at night, and that would be possibly in the summer months. Now, it could happen at any time because of sickness or whatever. But I'm just saying, it's a standard warning that does go out and goes out in all hospitals if there's a perception. But still, we can't forget at the end of the day that there is a serious issue about recruitment and recruitment of medical and clinical staff in Daisy Hill, and any meetings I ever attend, it's always talked and flagged up to. And I know our council have been trying to get involved as well in the promotion of the area to encourage the relevant and pertinent medical staff to come to this area to live and work in. You know, one thing, but the adult question, and it is really the methods of recruitment put in place by the trust. And I know, speaking anecdotally, of course, but speaking to some medical staff and people working in the boards and the trusts, we all know that there's quite a lot of agency staff being employed. You know, so if there's a good supply on one hand of nurses and medical people under this recruitment method, it begs the question, are the trusts being inflexible in their methodology of recruitment, and are they capable of creativity in terms of how they would how they couch the terms of employment? Do they make it attractive to employees who nowadays choose a particular type of lifestyle choice? So the other question I would put as well, are the trusts doing enough to train up potential accident emergency staff who may not have worked in the accident emergency for quite a number of years, but would be willing to do it, but they're prevented to do it. So when we do hopefully meet them, these are the sort of questions that very real questions that we need to put to them. I'm talking about those people, and they actually can't, those particular people who have worked for a while can't apply for this type of work now because they haven't got the necessary recent experience. So I think this is the type of area we need to be exploring with them, and we know ourselves the way recruitment can sometimes be tied up in red tape. So that's the type of issue that I certainly see we would be pursuing. But again, certainly support the motion in general terms. I think it could have been worded better, but I wouldn't start to abuse it because I know it was probably constructed in a genuine manner, but certainly would be happy to back it.
Hi. I'd just like to say thanks to Councillor Mulgrew for bringing this motion here tonight, and we're happy to support it. We do somehow feel the pain of the down here, and we know where you're coming from, and we're doing all we can to save the down. We'll certainly do all we can to help you with Daisy Hill. Thank you.
Pete.
So I know I've already been in, but I just wanted to flag up a point that was made by Councillor O'Reilly. He's not here, maybe to listen to me. But he brought up, he had a comparison with a point that I made a number of weeks ago about visas, worldwide visas, and we threw in the Brexit argument. And I just want to put on record that there is no comparison with granting business visas to the likes of my suppliers in India and then with permits or work permits to consultants. And whatever way to spin you put it, Brexit or the Remain side or the Leave side, if you have a demand for a position and it is a job, a specialised job, work visas and work permits will be granted. So that's a false argument, and I just want to put on record that I don't agree with.
Thank you. Davey, sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, this recently they're coming into this, there's been a bit of party politics being played, and to be honest, this issue is far, far, far too important for us to be making remarks or trying to make digs at each other in a party political way. It really is. It's far too serious. Some 30 years ago, I had to make a phone to Daisy Hill because I had a sick child in the house. And that young fella was very quickly taken by the hospital and very quickly treated. But he fell into a coma and was in hospital for quite a long time because he had developed meningitis. But I'm saying today, and tonight, that only for Daisy Hill, that boy would not be allowed today. And I am deeply, deeply indebted to them for all the work that they've done in those days and over the intervening decades. Without Daisy Hill, I don't know what the future of Newry would be, to be honest, because anytime you visit it, they're extremely worked out, overworked, and people are running around the place because there's so many patients coming in and out of the hospital, and it's so used. But I suppose, in a sense, we had this coming down the line. I remember the theory about the Golden Five, how the Golden Five had to be protected. And I thought that was a fairly strange but apt name for the five hospitals that have been earmarked to be the main hospitals in the north. And there were two in Belfast, one in Craigavon, one in Fermanagh, and South Tyrone, or Tyrone, and one in Derry. And of course, and I remember even one of the so-called guys who had written up the reports saying, that local politicians and local councillors, etc., really shouldn't be so driven by local issues, that you should look at the bigger picture. Well, I am looking at the bigger picture, and I know that a lot of our people would not be alive today if they had to go to Craigavon or other hospitals like that, because the subject wouldn't last for that length of time. And for us to be downgraded again, it's like how the stroke unit was taken away from it. It's drip by drip by drip. They're slowly trying to strangle the services there to make sure that Daisy Hill isn't the first class hospital that it is and should be. And we really need to come together. It's a duty and an onus on all of us here as local councillors should be to try to come together with a unity of purpose to try to safeguard not only Daisy Hill but also Down, because we represent both hospitals, and we should be doing all in our power
to safeguard those places of work and to ensure that people after us will have a first-class health service in Newry, Moore and Down region. Fair enough.
Terry?
Well, thanks so much, Chair. On a personal basis, I would appreciate very much the A&E and staff and the likes of the Down Hospital for what they've done for me personally and for the community as a whole, and the same is reciprocated with Daisy Hill and Newry. You know, no doubt our message of support and solidarity will be really, of the retention of any Newry's Daisy Hill will be carried to the Trust as soon as possible. You know, whenever we think back, over 20,000 people took to the streets of Down, campaigned under the Love the Down Hospital for retention of services, and I know Newry people done the same. You know, and I say, as the previous council spoke on, this is a rerun of what's happened in the Down. But our council area has seen various smash and grab raids on other services, like of education, outdoor centres, you know, infrastructure, etc. And the powers that be seem to think that we are easy pickings and a soft touch. But we want to send out the message that we're not that, that we're united as a team, and we will be going the extra mile and supporting the retention of services. You know, one of the trusts always had a slogan, providing lifelong health and care. Well, we owe them to live up to that expression of what they're always proudly broadcasting of that lifelong health and care. They owe it to the people, and that's what we place our trust in them for. So I support, in principle, the motion.
Willie?
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't going to speak, but I've just sort of realised how the big impact it would have on our area also. Large numbers from the north of the council area use A&E in Newry on a regular basis because of the situation with A&E in the Down. I think the other councillors talked about in the mornings. If you think of Kilkeel and Newcastle and Kilkoo, you know, there's large numbers of people using these services on a regular basis also. Indeed, I took my mother, who has dementia, and she broke her arm recently, and we had to go to the Daisy Hill and received excellent care. So there is a lot of people, as Davey says, everybody seems away, everybody spoke. As Davey has, in his contribution, said, when you've got a young child and you're in a state of panic, you need them services very, very close and nearby. And given our road infrastructure, I think it's well versed. I would say one of the worst road infrastructures in the north, and in the Down area, we haven't one centimetre of dual carriageway. You know, so it is a really big, massive impact in regards to this area, part of the council area as well. And I agree, party politics, we should try to leave it out of the hospital debate. And there was always in the Down campaign, and I'm sure the Daisy Hill campaign as well, the politics does be left out of the argument. And understand the position about the executive, and that's all fair enough, because everybody can respond to that, you know. At the end of the day, you know, and I'm not going to go into that, but I would have an answer for you, Glenn, in regards to that. But as I say, we shouldn't be making party political points in regards to it. I think this is, and as Cadogan Enright said, this is replicating what happened to the Down in regards to A&E. And indeed, they brought the news about the Down reduction of A&E services on Christmas week, a couple of days before Christmas, and we were informed about it, and they were delivering the bad news, and we were actually meeting in this chamber, I think it was a day before Christmas Eve, with the health trust, and that's when they broke the bad news to ourselves. I think the consultants, they need to be prioritised for rural areas. Again, I mentioned the poor road infrastructure. I think it's essential that, you know, the priority does come to rural areas. And I think there's too much of a focus on Belfast hospitals. The argument they would say is that there's a better training facility in Belfast dealing with trauma. But again, it's my understanding the training can be is accommodated within Daisy Hill also. So I think, just in finishing off then, Chair, I think it's important that we all work together, and the trusts need to be working together. We talk about community planning. They need to be working with us. If recruitment is an issue, there's different issues about border controls, but there's numerous countries who could provide us with healthcare workers on a senior level, such as Cuba. You know, it's only a matter of Britain taking them off the list of medical workers who cannot work in the so-called UK. And so there's a number of issues that need to be taken up and worked through. But I think it's essential that we all, you know, work in a cohesive manner and work together for all our people, and don't be making political politics out of it.
Glenn?
Chair, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to ask Councillor Hardy to retract his allegation of corruption in the DUP being involved in corruption or being corrupt. If he doesn't retract it, it will not be left at that, so we will be asking for a transcript of so well of what he said exactly, and it will be handed to the legal team of the DUP.
Well, Chair, it's not that Glenn's threat makes any difference to me or not, but in the interest of keeping politics out of this, I will withdraw it. But it's nothing to do with Glenn's threat. I've got them threats all of my life through the council. But in the interest of keeping politics out of this, and I think that every councillor talked or just spoke tonight, except Glenn and Henry, spoke about keeping politics out of it. And in the interest of that, I will do that. But absolutely nothing to do with Glenn's threat. I would ask him to extend the hand of friendship and do the same now and withdraw his remarks about Sinn Féin. Would he be man enough to do that? Well, I'm man enough to withdraw the remarks I made. But you see what you have. Another Henry.
I'll just pause in case there's a light come back on.
Chair, I won't be withdrawing any of my remarks, as I did not do what Terry did and make allegations. What I said was facts. I didn't facts, thanks.
Okay. I just want to, on behalf of even myself, just on a personal level, nothing to do with politics, thank Christian for coming and bringing this motion tonight. I'm glad that it came in. I, as you all know, had a double fracture in my leg and dislocation of my shoulder. I can tell you here now, the treatment I received in that hospital was second to none. Daisy Hill are exemplary. They are fantastic. And we need to work together as a team, as everyone has said here, as a team working together for the betterment of our district and of the people of our district. That's who we represent. We are the voice of those people. We need to be a team here. No, we mightn't always agree. That's really neither here nor there tonight. We're moving forward in terms of our hospital and what we can do as a team. There's no I in team. There's no politics in team. It's just a team effort that we work together collectively for the betterment of our people. So, Roisin, I'm going to ask you to sum up.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have to say that it is with great and utter sadness that I sat and listened to some of the comments here. I thought of all of the issues that we face in this council, this was one thing that people would have parked their party politics. I'm so very disappointed in some of the councillors here, people that I have utmost respect for, but I really think they let themselves down tonight. I'm just going to park that issue there. Apart from that, I'd like to thank everybody for support. I think the fact that everybody has supported it, I think we all as individuals have experienced Daisy Hill Hospital or our other local hospitals, and we realise the devastating effect that these sorts of threats have on us all. As I say, I thank everyone for their support, and I would just like to commend on one of the things that I said initially. I am being told from staff that this is a management problem, and the consultants employed within the trust have it in their contract that they should rotate around the hospitals. And I would ask, when we're contacting the trust, that we get that clarified. Because if that is the case, Daisy Hill is being deliberately left to flounder by the trust. Because if there are consultants there, and when we look at the numbers of people that are treated between Daisy Hill and Craigavon, Daisy Hill is understaffed, but not necessarily because they can't recruit the staff, because the trust is not making the consultants live up to what is written in their contract that they will service all of the hospitals. So I would like that clarified. But do you want me to read the motion again?
Sum up, yes.
Thanks, Chair. Newry Mourne and Down Council expresses its opposition to the proposals from the Southern Health and Social Care Trust to suspend services in the emergency department at Daisy Hill Hospital. The Council commends our hard-working National Health Service staff, particularly at a time when our health service is under pressure as a result of Tory cuts. Recognising the importance of a local emergency department, we demand that the Trust maintains a 24/7 service by making every effort to support current staff and ensuring that the unit is adequately staffed at all times. This Council must immediately request an emergency meeting with the Southern Health and Social Care Trust to discuss.
Seconded by Pete. And all in favour? Unanimous?
All against?
All against?
No
abstent. Okay. Motion is carried. Oh, the abstentions are at home. Safe home, everyone, and I hope no one has to go there tonight.
All right. As Jelena was telling Jelena about an experience I had Sunday week ago at 4:30 in the morning, while I had a bad chest infection, so I left it untreated. And I tried out all our stuff. And she was having difficulty.
Yeah.
And you see, I said, look, just go to the AME. Down Patrick's not there. Belfast was the closest to me, the Royal. And then I drove in and I got a road closure. Two, and you're up to Hydro. And
yeah.
You realise, I didn't want to bring up to your personal thing into it, but you realise.
When you realise,
how important it is to have somewhere on your doorstep.
But God love him. When she got there, she fainted. He thought he lost her.
I did.
And I'm kind of probably worse for him than worse for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the whole